Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, folks. Roy here with you on the Big Red Bench till 7 o'clock. What a day it has been. That sun is incredible. Nearly called in sick today because it was so sunny. I was like, no, better go in, do the Big Red Bench this evening right here on Cork's Red FM. Although I am kind of regretting it. Coming up on the show tonight, reaction from Cork's win over Clare today. We're talking to selector John Hayes, and we'll hear from the Clare manager Colm Collins today. Also on the show tonight, a look back on an epic encounter in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, one for the ages as Cork narrowly lost out to Dublin. We'll hear from Aoife Fitzgerald and goalkeeper Martina O'Brien. We're talking to Spike O'Sullivan as well after his return to the ring last night and his win in Belgium, and plenty more besides. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Oh 868 104 106 on text or WhatsApp if you'd like to get in touch with us on the show. Hope you're listening to this show in the back garden. What a day it's been. Summer finally arriving in Cork, and hope you're certainly making the most of it. Just going to wrap up everything that's been happening today, and of course that victory for Cork today over Clare. But despite the win, the Rebels will have to face a relegation playoff. They won 22 points to 118 over the Banner today. However, Clare's superior scoring difference means that they go into the promotion playoff semi-final at the expense of Cork. Cork needed to win by 4 to go into the promotion playoffs. Ronan McCarthy's side will now face Westmeath in the other relegation battle. It'll be down versus Laois. While in the promotion playoffs, it'll be Mayo versus Clare and Meath versus Kildare. Elsewhere today, Dublin have beaten Galway 216 to 115 in their Allianz National Football League Division 1 South game at Tuam this afternoon. Conor Callaghan and Aaron Byrne with the goals for the boys in blue. That result means they advance to the semi-finals. Elsewhere, Kerry have beaten Roscommon 215 to 112 at Dr. Hyde Park. David Clifford and Joe O'Connor finding the back of the net for the Kingdom. In Division 1 Group B of the Allianz National Hurling League, Kilkenny beat Wexford 227 to 23 points in their rescheduled game at Nolan Park today. Billy Ryan and TJ Reid with the goals for the Cats in the first half. We'll hear from Brian Cody and Debbie Fitz a little bit later on in the show. Ladies Football Division 1A of the Lidl Ladies National Football League, Galway beating Westmeath 6-13 to 2-7 at Pearse Stadium today. And in Division 1B, Waterford beat Munster rivals Tipperary 5-12 to 2-12 in Clonmel. In cross-channel football today and in the League One playoff final at Wembley, Blackpool have beaten Lincoln City by 2-1. One game here at home in the SSC or Tris City Women's National League, the All-Ireland Waves beating Treaty United 5-0. That game was at Jackman Park. And earlier on today, the Republic of Ireland under-21s lost 2-0 to Switzerland in their friendly international. That was at Marbella. The fourth seed, Dominic Thiem, is out of the French Open at the first round. He was beaten 3-2 by Spain's Pablo Andujar earlier on today. Alexander Zverev currently trails the German Oscar Otte 5-3 in the first set of their match. Stefanos Tsitsipas gets his campaign underway later on this evening. In the women's singles draw, the third seed, Aryna Sabalenka, has beaten Anna Konja in straight sets to advance to the next round. Earlier, world number 2 Naomi Osaka progressing to the next round with a straight sets win over Patricia Maria Tigg. She's since been fined $15,000 for not going to the press conference after the match. She had previously said she wouldn't do post-match media due to the impact on her mental health. Now, there has been a statement issued by French Open organisers who say that she's been threatened with being defaulted from the Open, basically, as a result. The statement says the Roland Garros team's asked her to reconsider her position and tried unsuccessfully to speak with her to check on her well-being, understand the specifics of her issue and what might be done to address it on site. The statement continues, the mental health of players competing in our tournament and on the tours is of utmost importance to the Grand Slams. We, individually and collectively, have significant resources dedicated to player well-being. In order to continue to improve, however, we need engagement from the players to understand their perspective and find ways to improve their experiences. A core element of the Grand Slam regulations is the responsibility of the players to engage with the media, whatever the result of their match, a responsibility which players take for the benefit of the sport, the fans, and for themselves. We have advised Naomi Osaka that should she continue to ignore her media obligations during the tournament, she would be exposing herself to possible further code of conduct infringement consequences. As might be expected, repeat violations attract tougher sanctions, including default from the tournament and the trigger of a major offence investigation that could lead to more substantial fines and future Grand Slam suspensions. So they're certainly not taking that lying down. It'll be interesting to see what Osaka's response is, if any, if she just continues not to report for the media and calls their bluff. It'll be very interesting to see what happens there. Elsewhere, Bernd Weisberger of Austria has won the Maiden Himmerland tournament on the European Tour in Denmark, finishing up in 21 on par, 5 shots clear of the chasing pack. And Jordan Spieth leading Jason Kukrak by 1 shot on 15 on par, heading into the final 18 holes of the Charles Schwab Challenge in Texas. And in cycling, the Colombian Egan Bernal won the Giro d'Italia today after the final time trial stage in Milan. It's the second tour he's won in his career. Ireland's Dan Martin finishing up in 10th place. All right, reaction from Cork's victory over Clare. Going to hear from the Clare manager, Colm Collins, in a bit. I got a chance to phone Cork selector John Hayes just after the game to get his perspective on the match.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely mixed feelings coming out of the game. Look, it's a big improvement on the last couple of times that Cork have gone to Ennis and gone to Clare and been beaten quite easily the last couple of times. So to turn it around and get a win is a positive. But unfortunately, not enough to get us into the playoff semi-finals. Look, it was disappointing. Tight game, but the damage was done in the first round against Kildare.
It certainly was. What was the most pleasing aspect, I suppose, of the performance today?
Well, I thought our scoring efficiency was excellent in the sense that we got 22 points, and I don't know, I think it was 18 or 19 of those from play, I'm not sure totally, but you know, 22 points is very good scoring, and the way we actually took out a win at the end when Clare came back at us, and we were down to 14 and they got a level, you know, getting a win, even though it didn't get us into the playoff picture, getting a win was important today, and bouncing back from the Kildare game with two wins is pleasing as well.
How big a factor was Brian Hurley sending off in the second half?
Yeah, look, it was a factor because Brian was playing well when he came in. He was after getting a couple of points. I didn't see the first incident. The second one, I thought it was a little bit harsh on Brian, I would have felt, but, you know, he might have given the referee an excuse to send him off. I'd need to see it again to make a proper judgment on it, but it was disappointing for us because, you know, I felt we had come into the game at that stage, we'd made a few changes, and those changes were having an effect, and to lose Brian and the target man that he was at 14 was disappointing.
And you lost a couple of big players today to injury as well, Kieran Sheehan, Daniel Amani, Sean Powder. I mean, like, how big a factor was that?
Yeah, Daniel went off early, so obviously we had to make a change there, which just maybe unsettled our defence for a little while. It took us a little while to settle, but from the first water break on, once we got the guys a little bit more organised, we did a lot better. So look, it's disappointing to lose Daniel because he's a new player, a young player who's been doing well, but that's what the squad is for, and you know, the guys that came in did their job, did what we asked of them, so it was a good impact from our bench again. Hopefully Daniel, Kieran and Sean, hopefully none of their injuries are too serious, and we hope to have them back for the playoff game against Westmeath in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it is Westmeath now, as you said, in 2 weeks time. What do you know about them at this stage?
So I don't know an awful lot about them myself. I'm going to have to do some video research before the game, but I know Cian and Ronan will know them from having played them a couple of years ago up in Westmeath, and Cian has a vast knowledge of pretty much every team in the country, so we'll be waiting for the video previews and video reviews from Cian to get an expectation of what can we expect from Westmeath.
Are you happier now? You've got a kind of a week off to get the lads ready for the game. Would you rather be out next weekend?
No, I think it's good now to get a week off. Look, 3 weeks in a row after such a long period of inactivity is tough on the guys and tough on their bodies. And you can see it in the injuries that we've had all along and the injuries that we picked up today. So the week off next week is valuable. We need to use it wisely to give the guys that need rest, get some training and hopefully some sort of game minutes into the guys who maybe haven't played as much. But definitely 2 weeks is a positive at this stage after the 3 weeks in a row.
All right, perfect, John. Thanks for talking to us today.
Okay, thanks very much, Roy.
That's John Hayes, the Cork selector there, speaking to us after the win over Clare and narrowly going into the relegation playoff as a result. They needed to win by four, just won by one today. But a good performance, a good game of football as well. Really enjoyed watching this one this afternoon. So it will be Westmeath in 2 weeks' time for the Rebels. Let's hear from the Clare camp. Their manager, Colm Collins, has been talking to Derek Lynch in Clare FM.
Colm Collins, a smile on your face and most other faces, which is ironic, I suppose, after a 1 point loss, but what it means is incredible stuff.
Yeah, vital to retain Division 2 status for a start, and then also vital that we're in a playoff for a chance to get to Division 1. Now, while it's a tall order, we're playing, I think it's Mayo we're playing, but listen to me, if you're not in, you can't win, and we're delighted to be there.
Talk to me not just about that performance, Colm, but the three performances in this league so far. I mean, ultra-consistent, good scoring rates, and no goals conceded.
Yeah, very proud of that. You know, like I was saying to the lads there, there's a lot of people take a bow here. You know, there's an awful cult about managers and things like that. This whole thing wouldn't exist without a fantastic team behind us. Everybody in the background are so good. And like that whole area, Jerry McGowan, he can take a bow on that. Like, I mean, we're defensively way sounder this year. And that's he has emphasised that, and it's great to see it working for him. I thought that was our best display, and we lost. But I'm very happy with the whole thing.
Recover from a slow start, I suppose. The thing of having no crowds in, we can hear you a little bit clearer. And when that penalty went in, the immediate roar was, now wake up. You know, that was the jolt that they needed, probably.
Yeah, I thought that took us a long time to get to the pace of the game. That we were allowing Cork to dictate at the start. But in fairness to Cork, I would say this, I don't know now, I suppose, you know, it's hard to make a comment about another team, but I think that was their best performance as well. I think that was the best football that they've played so far. So all in all, a good match. Just a pity that there wasn't a full ground to see it.
Yeah. And talking now, looking ahead, I mean, you've Mayo in a couple of weeks' time, and then on to Kerry. I mean, you couldn't be asking for better preparation.
Well, it's fantastic to get the quality of Mayo prior to the Kerry game. That's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. So we couldn't have asked for any more.
Talk to me about your panel, Colm. Yeah.
Probably would have given away the flipping ball, we'd be fine. We'd be grand. We'd be grand.
Yeah, I think all people get a pass sometimes around here. But talk to me, Colm, finally about your panel. I mean, there's the likes of Arden Griffin coming in, they're making a real difference. Eamon McMahon, all these guys standing up when needed.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a real strong panel there. And you know, it's great to see fellas when they get their chance coming in and grabbing it. You know, and it was Arden in particular really made a massive difference at the end there when he ran at them, and they were vital. They were absolutely vital scores. I think what did Cork to win by four, is it? Mm. So you know, they were absolutely crucial scores.
Just very finally, I know you're very slow to take praise yourself, but I mean the consistency of this Clare team since you went up after that final in 2016 to do what you've done is unbelievable.
Well, what's very important here now is that this is not me. It isn't, and I'm sincere. Mean that it's a massive, there's a team behind the team here. If you'd like Declan O'Keefe, who's a brilliant coach, you've Jerry and all the Rob, all these people, Declan Downs, Enda, everybody, and then you know, Jim, Tom, everybody doing their job really well, which makes it very easy. And that's it, you know. That I know that people love the kind of cult of a manager and somebody being the genius, but that's not the case. It's a group of people. Like, we have a stats team, you know one of them very well, Dermot. And they're top class, like absolutely top class, you know. So everybody does their job so well, it makes it so easy, and gives the lads a great opportunity. And lastly, the players, you know, God almighty, I wouldn't swap them for any group of players in the country. You know, honesty, you know, complete honesty, give you everything they have, and you'd have to be very proud to be associated with them.
Just an update on injuries, Colm, if I can. The lads that are out at the minute, how likely are they to be back?
I think Podge is okay, he'll be back. Jamie will be touch and go for Mayo. I think they're the two long term. Kevin, I'd say, is in trouble. The Achilles is a very slow injury to heal. Owen could be okay as well. He and Kieran Morrissey, both of those, there's just small injuries, so we would hope that they would recover quickly. But all in all, considering what has happened, some other teams, We've been very good, and credit to Shane Mack, the physio, and credit to Rob Mulcahy and Clare. You know, that these fellas, that most of our team are fit and able to play.
Yeah, classy stuff there from Colm Collins, making sure everyone else takes the credit for Clare's form over the last couple of years. And as he said, happy that they are in the promotion playoff. despite the defeat to Cork today. And it is Mayo that they will face. So it'll be Westmeath now for Cork after their 1 point loss to Down today. Let's hear now from Westmeath's Jack Cooney as he was speaking to Midlands 103.
Yeah, I think there was probably a bit of a hangover from last week. You know, like last week was a massive effort from the lads, and it just took us. It took us a good 25-30 minutes to get a bit of running into the legs. At the same time, we probably created a couple of goal chances. We definitely one good goal chance in the first half. If that went in, it would. It was a great block on the line by a Down defender. If that went in, you know, it would. The scoreboard is looking completely different at half time. But I'd have to say, in the last, even in the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I thought the effort, probably even a bit more, 20, the effort from the lads was unbelievable. You know, they got energy, they started going at Down. And you know, realistically, we could have come away there with four or five goals, you know, and we wouldn't have been out of place with that.
At half time, were you disappointed? You only had 3 points on the board. What were you saying to the lads at half time? You had 35 more minutes and maybe the little breeze behind you. Did you think you could maybe win it at that stage?
Yeah, like it's about just being composed at half time, you know, and the big stat for us at half time is that we were turning the ball over in their half unnecessarily. You know, so we were getting the ball in there, but we weren't actually creating chances off it, you know. And then we were probably lacking a little bit of intensity in our defence to try and get contact on Down. So, and they punished for us. They were well worth their 9 point scores at half time. But again, you know, they even started. They stretched it at the start of the second half, and I think then from there we took over. And I thought the lads were. Their effort was outstanding, you know, in the last 25 minutes.
Yeah, went to the bench, you brought in Folo, he scored a brilliant goal. That gave the lads that little bit more energy at that stage.
At age, yeah, to Ronan too, start getting on the ball, you know, and Ronan Wallace, who was outstanding, you know, made really good penetration runs down through their defence, opened them up every time. But like those balls coming off posts and crossbars and defenders, and I don't know how the ball didn't go in, you know. They definitely should have come away with another two or three goals anyway.
And of course, looking to the relegation playoff with Cork, is it a Cork venue? Someone was saying here this evening.
I think so, yeah.
Not going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be easy, but like our starting point now is where we finished the game today, you know, bring that energy and that effort. And I thought it was that's where we'll work on that now over the next couple of weeks. There was always going to be a relegation semi-final, you know, following the second game, so it was just a matter of who it was, and we just have to get our heads around it now.
After the two opening games against Meath, which was a very good performance from you, great game last weekend, Did you think the energy level fell a bit today? It was hard to get going in the game.
Possibly, you know, like there were two big games to play, you know, and Down probably had a little bit more energy than us in the first half. They probably changed up the way they played as well over the last couple of games, so they're a lot more direct. But look, there's a couple of situations where you have a ball. I thought we worked the ball into a really, really good position in the corner there. You know, definitely a call for a free, and it didn't happen. So like, you know, we're not getting the rub of the green in a lot of areas. You know,
here, Martin. Injured. How bad is it?
Yeah, we need to assess it there now. He's after hurting his ankle there, so we'll have a look. He carried a bit of an injury in over the last couple of weeks with his knee, so it might be a result of something from there, but we'll have a look at it and see during the week.
That's Westmeath's Jack Cooney there speaking to Midlands 103. Knows it's going to be a difficult clash against Cork in that relegation playoff, but that'll be in 2 weeks' time. So both teams out with a week off, weekend off next weekend to recover. And as we heard from John Hayes earlier on, it's welcome for them considering they picked up a number of injuries today. So it'll be Cork versus Westmeath in that relegation playoff, and believes to be in Páirc Uí Chaoimh as well. Briefly, I'm going to hear from the Wexford and Kilkenny managers today. Kilkenny winning by 10 points over Wexford today. Going to hear first from Dave Fitzgerald, Wexford boss.
Well, you looked a bit flat in the first half, and second half a bit more energy.
Yeah, flat is putting a mighty when you're down 14 points at half time. It isn't a nice place to be inside there, so it isn't, especially when you're playing Kilkenny at home. But I'm extremely proud of the lads. They fought hard. Like, I think we won the second half by 4, missed the goal we probably should have got, and a few bad wides. So we held our own in the second half, and we're probably a bit more set up the way we should be. First half, I would be disappointed in the two goals we give up, but that's the name of the game. Hopefully we'll get a bit of time to rectify that. But I thought Kilkenny were awesome today. They moved the ball. Like, it's a completely different style of hurling for Kilkenny if you watch now compared to what they would have played 10 years ago. Now they're using it short, using it long, and to me hurling is great that you can do every sort of skill, and they've certainly come a long way, and fair play to them. And it'll be a very interesting summer, and trust me, Kilkenny will be right up there.
Are Kilkenny coping well with this new style? Because for all of us who've been watching Kilkenny for many years, we were wondering what it would be like. Are they making a good job of it?
I definitely think they've definitely got the grips of it way more, and I think it's important, Nicky, with the way the game has gone, you have to adapt all the time. That's just the way things happen in life. Even things pop up and you got to adapt to it, and they did. So they're doing okay. They did okay today, and you know, from where I was standing. So but you know what, we've 5 or 6 more weeks and we have the first round of the championship, and we want to know what the story is as we get to June or July.
That's Dave Fitzgerald there speaking after their loss to Kilkenny. Going to hear now from Brian Cody.
Yeah, are you happy about the progress that's being made? Because they seem to be improving to me every day and getting sharper in that space.
To be honest, I don't look at it like that at all. Like, you know, because I mean, everybody, anyone ever played hurling, like the kind of philosophy would be that you'd always try to give the ball to the man in the best position. That fella could be a hand pass of 5 yards, or it could be a 60-yard pass as well. You know, so you do what you do, and obviously they're having this huge talk and emphasis being put on these those kind of things now. But I don't see it as anything major, to be honest.
Now, in terms of the game itself, there was an enormous amount of frees today and an enormous amount of scores from frees. Now, I come from the old school of hurling, where I'd like to see the play develop a little bit more and let go on. Do you have a view on all these frees that are being given?
Well, I wouldn't be from the old school, Nicky, at all. Like, you know, I mean, why would I be, you know? So, I mean, the referee has to do his job. I'm not going to start discussing how he did or how he didn't do or anything like that. And the game is the game, and the rule makers make the rules, and we have to, whatever kind of a game is put in front of us, you have to try and play it.
My last question now on the lads here. Kilkenny could be playing Wexford in the championship in the not too distant future. I think we'll see a different game.
Yeah, look, obviously, I mean, this is league, and championship is what everybody is thinking about and talking about, and probably in about 5 weeks' time, I mean, they have to play Laois, and certainly won't disrespect either of the teams that are saying who's going to win the match. But we have a straight run to the Leinster semi-final, so we'll play our two league matches and we'll prepare for the championship.
That's Brian Cody there speaking after their win over Wexford today, and both lads there speaking to KCLR. All right, let's talk about a cracker last night. Like, you talk about cracking games. Cork and Dublin producing what will undoubtedly be talked about as one of the games of the year last night in the Lidl Ladies National Football League. The Dubs edging a cracker by a single point. Dublin 3-15, Cork 4-11 was how it finished. Hannah Looney, Kira O'Sullivan, Si O'Leary and Emma Cleary with the goals for the Rebels. An absolutely scintillating game of football last night on the park. Joe McCarthy was there for us, and he spoke to Cork goalkeeper Martina O'Brien.
Martina, as National League games go between yourselves and Dublin, that's up there with one of the best, but from a player's point of view, tale of two halves. You were sticking with them as best you could in the first half. Second half, you burst on 2-1 straight after half time. But from your perspective, how did you see the game going?
I suppose it's really hard to tell. Like, it's both our second matches, and we were really, you know, I suppose both teams were feeling their way into the game. There was lots of mistakes on both sides first half. Do you know, like, what was it, 8-6 at half time, and it was very nip and tuck. And I suppose, again, mistakes in the first half cost both teams. But look, I think the second half was just a great spectacle, to be fair. Like, how many goals is there? There was 7 goals, is there, in a second half? Like, so, I mean, we like to provide a bit of entertainment anyway, at least. Look, I suppose for ourselves, we can only look forward and kind of work on the mistakes that we did make. There was a lot of them, but we're getting somewhere anyway. Do you know, we're putting plays together. We were opened up at the back. There was a lot of mistakes back there as well. But again, there are things we can work on, so I think we're happy enough.
Just from a goalkeeping perspective, with your experience, you made one fantastic save. But the goalkeeper, Abby Shields, at the opposite end, she played out of her skin tonight. What did you think of her performance?
I'm actually very surprised she didn't get 1 minute of match. I don't think she did she? No. Unbelievable. Like, to be fair, like, she's only a young girl of 18. And, I mean, coming on to an All-Ireland winning team and doing that, it was very, very good. Look, we want to be finishing those and not making a goalkeeper do those kind of things, like, you know, look spectacular. But no, she was brilliant. But again, we need to be better, I suppose. We need to finish better. Even one of those would have won us the match. So look, it's something for us to work on again, and it'll be worse if we had nothing to work on.
Just finally, look ahead to that Waterford game. Is that the good thing about the league now, that it is shortened this year? It's a short turnaround. You got to get your stuff done at training Wednesday night and hit the ground running next weekend.
Yeah, and look, I think we like it that way too. Nobody wants to be waiting 2 weekends or 3 weekends in between games. And we have, as I said, lots and lots to work on, but everyone had their head held there now and coming out, and we're ready to put in the work, I suppose. And Waterford will be a big test now. We have to go to them, and like, we have to win, obviously, if we want to kind of progress. So it's shoulder to wheel now on Wednesday, and we'll work on some things and hopefully bring them into the game next weekend.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. That's Cork goalkeeper Martin O'Brien there speaking to Ger McCarthy after that epic clash down the park last night. Gerald's got a chance to speak to Cork boss Aoife Fitzgerald.
Aoife Fitzgerald, from a neutral's point of view, that was absorbing, entertaining, almost a bit too hectic. What was it like from a manager's point of view, coming up short by a point to the Ireland champions tonight?
Yeah, I suppose it was the same, really. It was kind of a slow burn at the start, and then, you know, just hit for tat after half time. We exploded and got two goals and could have had another one. You know, we created so many goal chances tonight. It was, you know, I was really, really well pleased with that. Unfortunately, became a little bit short, but I'm not too worried about it. Like, our response was very, very good. You know, individual errors cost us all throughout the game. I think we gave away an awful lot of ball. We were sloppy in possession at times, and, you know, if you turn over against Dublin, they're very, very quick on the break. And, you know, I'm with Hannah Terrell back with them now. She's a real, you know, pacey girl and that, so she causes a lot of trouble tonight. But that said, I was very, very proud with her own girls' performance. Again, I thought Saeve stood up very well tonight. Erica, Melissa, the usual gang, you know, and Ciara Sullivan. It was a real rip-roaring contest. So from that point of view, I have to say, please, the result, you know, obviously you'd prefer we should have probably got a draw on the finish of it, but that said, I can't be displeased with the attitude of the girls, particularly because when you're playing Dublin, you definitely need, you know, you need that steel and you need that character, and I think we showed that in abundance tonight. You know, when things were going against us from time to time, we really, really battled back, and, you know, there's loads of things we can tidy up, and as I say, a lot of their scores came from individual errors, so that's pleasing in a way. You know, obviously we don't want to be conceding goals, but it's certainly pleasing in terms of things we can work on. And I thought our pace and our movement in the forward line, you know, their goalkeeper, in fairness to her, made a couple of great saves. She made two or three great saves in the first five, was it? Yeah, yeah. So that's, you know, fair play to her. So but I think we, you know, we kept going, and, you know, in the finish of it, we were very strong. There was only one team really in it for the last 5 or 6 minutes. So a lot of pleasing aspects to it, but again, it's a league match, so we know we'll have to improve. Obviously, Dave getting Tyrrell in there is a big bonus to them now. Particularly in light of the fact that Noel Healy is gone, but, you know, and I know they have a few players tied to that team as well, I suppose, but so have we, so it's going to make for interesting work. I think the big thing for us is belief. You know, I think that should give the girls a lot of belief. You know, against Dublin, the last number of games we played, we were a little bit more conservative, and we scored 1-5, I think, in the All-Ireland final. And, you know, games prior to that, they were tit for that. I think we have a lot of pace and power now, but we're a work in progress. You know, it's a lot of young girls we're trying to bait in there and give people a chance and that. So all in all, you know, happy with the performance, but, you know, I suppose a draw on the night would have been definitely a fairer result.
What was said at half time, because you were held scoreless from open play, you turned the ball over 15 times. You weren't playing badly, it's just that they were really pressing high up the pitch, and what was the kind of message?
That was it, essentially. Like, a lot of their scores were coming from our turnovers, and we didn't have enough movement for the kickouts, which put Martin under pressure, which, you know, and pressure builds on goalkeepers, to be fair. You know, if you miss one or two, even though I think we had 83% of we won 83% of our kickouts, but then we turned them over, taking them to tackles and stuff that we're trying to get out of the girls, to be honest. So we took a lot of, you know, we took a lot of wrong options, I think, in the first half. But again, getting used to the pace of how Dublin play probably takes a little bit of getting used to, particularly for the newer girls. But I think, you know, when you look back on it, I don't think there was a whole lot between the teams. You know, they're obviously, they're physically, they're a lot bigger than we are, and they're strong, and, you know, they're very mobile. But, you know, we have a lot of strength, and we have a lot of football as well. So, it, you know, I think it augurs well for the summer, and hopefully, you know, we've Waterford now next week, so we have to win that now probably to qualify in the league, and that's fair enough as well. So we'll get back to it on Wednesday night and have a look at the game and see where we go from there.
How did tonight's result alter that? Because, I mean, you were going to go down to Waterford to want to win anyway, but does it alter the way you approach it now because you need to win?
No. Like, the season is so short. I mean, we only have a few games, so Waterford will be no different to tonight, you know. Again, we'll try and, you know, we will hope maybe we'd have Anya Terry back tonight, but it was a bit soon for her, and we have Marie Ambrose, who's nearly back as well. So, like, there's a lot of things going on that are nearly, but hopefully in the next couple of weeks, maybe next week, we'll be able to get a game time into them. Dermot Sullivan's out for a few weeks now as well, so, you know, we have a lot of niggly injuries and things. Laura Manny's on the way back, you know, hopefully we'll see a bit of her maybe in the next couple of weeks. So, like, what we want is competition for places, and, you know, but I must say, I have to say tonight, I was proud of the girls, you know. On another day, we could have won the match, but when you're playing the All-Ireland champions and with the experience they have, and that, it's heartening to know that we're very, very competitive there.
I suppose EP2 as well, you must be very pleased with the likes of Young, Saib O'Leary and others who were coming in. They're really putting that pressure on maybe some of the established players for those places.
Yeah, I thought Saib's movement, like, her movement is excellent, and, you know, she's a real killer instinct for goal, you know, she goes for it. No, tonight I thought some of the refereeing decisions were absolutely very, very poor. I mean, the last two, we had two chances. Kira was going through for the goal, she gets dragged down, and he'd, you know, no yellow card. What's a yellow card for? You know, and that's not so great, that's just fact. We had two, it happened to Kira twice in the last 5 minutes. Now, if you're going to referee games like that, it's very disheartening for the girls, you know, it's very, very disheartening. Now, do I blame Dublin for doing it? Not at all, not at all. But there should be a consequence for those things. We definitely would have been in on goal if I think it was Alvin Kira. Yeah, I'm not sure who did it, but, you know, and that's fair enough, that's her prerogative, but when they get away with those things, I think it's you know, it's just the referee. I think, to be fair to Dublin, and, you know, you have to admire their physicality, and they brought the game to a new level, and I don't know that the rules match the game now at this stage, and we're trying to do the same, you know, we're trying to catch up in that sense, you know, the fitness levels, the strength, and that, it's very, very difficult, and I know it's a hard job refereeing games, but I was very disappointed, I must say, with that aspect of it in the last few minutes.
You mentioned Kira there. She certainly used all her experience and led by example in that second half. Evie, she had a superb second half and showed really what she's all about.
Yeah, and so, you know, when Kira plays like that, she's a joy to behold, really. You know, and I mean, I don't know how many times she was fouled tonight, but, you know, she just gets up and goes at it again. But I thought, in general, our forward line, I suppose Abby O'Mahony, it was a big ordeal for Abby, starting a game of that magnitude. But it's a bit of experience for her. Likewise, Dara, you know. It's a learning process for all of those girls. I mean, again, I thought Erica O'Shea tonight, you know, she's some operator, you know. Ashley Hutch's first game of the year, you know, she's been struggling with injury for a while. I thought, really, when we put her back cornerback on Cueve, I thought she did a very, very good job. Rosine Phelan. So it's like we're, you know, I suppose we're dependent on keeping people fit. But I have to say, I'm very, very pleased. Not pleased with the outcome, obviously, but very pleased with the performance.
Yeah, an absolutely cracking game last night down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, and Dublin just the 1 point winners in the end, 3:15 to 4:11 is how it finished in favour of the Dubs. And Cork, the width of a post from getting a draw last night, Emma Cleary's shot in the last minute coming back off the post. But yeah, really, really brilliant stuff from both Cork and Dublin last night. A great advert for ladies football in general. Absolutely brilliant stuff. If you haven't seen any, get a chance to watch it back too. It was a breathtaking game of football. Still to come on the show, we are going to talk to our buddy Spike O'Sullivan. He was back in action in Belgium last night, got the win. We're talking to Spike next.
Breakfast on Cork's Red FM.
So this business of the 105 minutes in a restaurant. All right,
indoor
okay.
Dining, you can have 6 adults and I think 9 children. So the max is 15 at a table.
Oh my God.
A lot of children.
What if you've got some really small friends? Could they pass as... Could you try and pass off your... Like Laura, we could try and pass Laura off as a child.
Breakfast with Ray Foley.
With Hertz Car Sales. Shop, click and pick your car online today. HertzCarSales.ie.
Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Cork's Red FM. Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Cork's Red FM.
We're glad you could join us on the Big Red Bench this evening. Roy here with you until 7 p.m. tonight. And if you missed last night's show, you can get the podcast redfm.ie or from wherever you download your podcasts from. And it features a fantastic interview that Valerie did with former Cork County Board Chairperson Tracy Kennedy. So that's available on yesterday's show. So go to redfm.ie for that. And you'll find it in our podcast section or else wherever you download your podcast from on your phone, you can get it there as well. But certainly well worth checking out that expansive interview with Tracy Kennedy, talking about all about her time as the County Board Chairperson. So really, really worth checking that one out. Boxing now though, and our pal Spike O'Sullivan was back in the ring last night after an absence of almost 18 months. Spike defeated again Nodar Robakidze in Liège, winning by unanimous decision after a 6-round fight. I managed to get hold of Spike when he was travelling home earlier on today. Spike joins us now from where in the world are you, Spike?
I'm in Amsterdam, getting a connecting flight there. Just flew in from Brussels.
Happy days.
Short flight from Brussels.
Happy days. Tell us, last night, a good win, a good workout, and good to be back in the ring after a long absence.
Well, it was almost a year and a half out, so it was good to get in and shake off a few cobwebs, get a little rust, you know. Good to get the win, and yeah, but the workout, yeah, good, a few rounds for me, yeah.
Yeah, 6 rounds, Nodar Robakidze. You beat him in Liège last night. A tough opponent, but good to get back in and good to get the rounds under your belt.
He's a tough experience guy. But definitely that was the exercise of the boys, just to get the rounds under the belt and get a win and get back on the horse, as I said.
Exactly. Do you feel you're, I suppose, with a year and a half out, Spike, was you a bit like kind of ring rusty last night, or how did it feel the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, it was indeed. Yeah. I felt a bit rusty in there, and it was just a bit different with no t-shirt on and just the shorts, back in the shorts and the boots, and it was a bit strange weather without the crowd, but I was glad to get the experience of that, you know, away in the COVID. But the COVID experience as such, it's good to experience that, as well. I think that I got the opportunity to do it.
How frustrating has it been, I suppose, with your inactivity over the last year and a half, and how good did it feel to be back in there last night?
It'd be frustrating career-wise, but I've enjoyed myself with the family at home, and I think that was unprecedented, getting to spend the full year at home with the family, so I really enjoyed that, and so it was positive to be taken out of it as well.
Exactly, yeah. And obviously you don't want to spend another year and a half in between your next fight. What's the plan for next now, Spike?
Not too sure. It could be a few back here in Belgium. There's a world title fight maybe on the end of care of that in July. Or else I might be back in America talking to Gordon by promotions at the moment, and I'm not sure. My manager has to talk with them, so not exactly sure what the exact plan is, but hopefully fighting the summer anyway.
Fingers crossed, yeah. Down at 154 pounds as well, do you feel like that's your preferred weight, your natural weight?
I think so, yeah. I'm more equal in size with the opponents, whereas when I fight the middleweight, they were bigger, you know, bigger men. At the elite level, they're very big for me.
Is there any fights you'd like next, Spike?
I haven't really thought about it too much. You know, I was just kind of focusing on the one last night, and just like to fight maybe for a title in my next fight if the opportunity arises.
Fantastic stuff, yeah. Mary, I'll let you go there, Spike. Thanks very much for joining us today. Congratulations on the win last night, and we'll chat to you soon.
Thanks very much, Rory. Good talking to you as always. See you soon.
Yeah, good to talk to Spike briefly this afternoon. Just catching him in between flights as he was heading back to Cork after that win last night in Liège. And a good performance, good to get the ring rust out of him against that opponent, Nodar Robakidze, last night. 6 rounds, Spike taking home a unanimous decision win as well. So good to see Spike get back in. It's been a while since his fight. He said 18 months there since he lost to Jaime Munguia. So great to see Spike back in action. Hopefully he's a lot more active this year. Of course, couldn't really be in action last year because of the COVID pandemic. He had a fight called off a couple of weeks back. Good to get back on the horse this week, and fantastic stuff, and a fantastic win as well for Jason Quigley last night as he beat Shane Mosley Jr. On a majority decision. Fantastic stuff from the Donegal native. Brilliant stuff from him, and he goes to 19-1 now. And that was the fourth pro defeat for Shane Mosley Jr. as well, and his first since 2018. So fantastic stuff last night from Jason Quigley. We're going to hear from Co Ramblers in a bit. A fantastic weekend from them. We're going to hear from Stuart Ashton. But first, Valerie has been speaking to para athlete and high jump star Jordan Lee earlier on. He is part of the Circle K team, which has launched a new initiative that gives the public the chance to show their creativity and support for Team Ireland ahead of the Tokyo Summer Games. And Valerie's been talking to him all about that and his plans for Tokyo this year.
Appreciate it.
Jordan, how has life been for you at the moment? How are things?
Good, yeah, fantastic. Quite hectic and busy, as you can imagine, especially on the lead up to the European Championships that are on next week, as well as the Paralympic Games and Olympic Games that are going to be on over the next coming months. So training has been at an all-time high. Just currently back off a training camp as well over in the UK. I was overtraining in the National Indoor Arena, one of the best high jump coaches in the world in Fuzz Ken, and also one of the best high jump groups in the world as well. So just coming off the back of that training. So we're feeling good, feeling positive.
How is training going for the moment? I presume that you never take a day off because you don't want to miss out on anything in the lead up to all this Europeans and the Olympics.
Definitely, yeah. Look, I mean, I've got a structured plan that I stick to diligently where, you know, I have a heavy session. I have a heavy session on a certain day, like today, for example. I've got a track session where I'm focusing mainly on my technical drills and approach and how smooth that is coming towards the bar with a certain amount of plyo contacts. Then I'll be waiting a couple of hours after my track session, and then I'm moving on to my gym session. That's later on that evening. So I'm having double sessions during the day, which are quite tough, quite strenuous and fatiguing, especially when you're trying to squat 200 kilos for reps after your track session that morning. So the following day, I usually just have a recovery session that consists mainly of just intense core mobility and all just recovery methods then as well on top of it. So it's very hectic. It's a combination of things that make you a good athlete, especially when you're competing in individual sport.
Yeah, we'll get into the high jump and how you got into it in just a little bit. But for anyone that doesn't know your story, maybe you can start by telling us about, you know, your journey and where it all began.
Definitely. So my first sport that I showed any real interest or desire in was basketball. That mainly being that my father was a basketball player for the National League team in Killarney, St. Paul's. So I was always around that basketball environment. I remember being at his training sessions from a very young age, from the age of 4 and 5. And apparently I was at his training sessions and games while I was in a buggy as well. So it was only bound for me at some stage to actually want to pick up a ball and really try out the sport of basketball and play it properly. So it came to a stage when I was 5 years of age. And I remember sitting in the car and my dad asked me, did I want to go to a basketball training? And my first ever basketball training session. And me being delighted, saying, yeah, let's do it. Let's go to the court. And I remember opening the door in St. Brendan's College, Killarney in the same. And it was basically like a scene from a movie. It's actually quite funny to talk about where I opened the door and it was as if everybody stopped bouncing the basketballs and that people were talking to each other. They were whispering at each other. They were pointing at me and my arm as if I couldn't hear or see what they were doing. Saying stuff like, you know, how's he ever going to play basketball? Oh, look at that guy. He's only got one hand. How is he going to be able to shoot the ball? All of these things. And as you can imagine, as a 5-year-old, that could be quite hard to take at times. But what I find funny is how 9 short years later, after my first basketball training session, I became the first one-handed basketball player to ever represent their country nationally in the world. So that's something that I'm really proud about. And I think looking back on it, I definitely proved all those people wrong. Took a lot of hard work and dedication to get there, as you can imagine. I would get up every morning at 6 o'clock before school to go swimming and to go shooting some hoops at my dad. So I was determined and I was just on a mission to ultimately achieve my goal, and that was to represent my country.
What was it like, as you mentioned, you're only 5 years of age and a lot of people might think, he didn't really know any different then and people stopping and staring, but you clearly did, Jordan. Like, you will never forget that moment. And how did it make you feel there and then?
It's a moment I'm grateful for. And I think that's quite an unusual approach in that situation. But it was at that moment that ignited something and that really fueled my drive and ambition to go on and achieve things. So I'm very grateful for all those people who doubted me. And I'm sure there's still people to this day that doubt me in, you know, my high jumping career. And if so, leave them at it, because it's something that fuels me, something that, you know, that motivates me to go on and achieve my goal. So, no, I'm very fortunate for that moment. I'm very happy those people were looking down on me.
Well, yeah, now look who's laughing. Now you're looking down on them, which is absolutely great to see. You weren't just into basketball. There was some swimming then you took up as well when you were younger.
Yeah, so I did it, you know, various different sports from a very young age. So basketball, obviously, being my main sport, was also quite a big soccer fan as well. So I played a lot of soccer for one of the local teams in Killarney. Played some tennis. I actually won an able-bodied tennis competition when I was 12 years of age. Up in Dublin. So, like, tennis was something that I would kind of rarely play, but it was something that was usually just a summer sport for myself, where I'd go up to Dublin with my aunt and we'd play some tennis. And I entered myself for a competition and I ended up winning the competition. So, I've always wanted to test out my limitations and to see what can't be done. Even like when I finished playing basketball and before I got into high jump, I even took up weightlifting with my stepfather Dermot. He was a guy who really got me into lifting and sort of got me the general sort of foundation of strength. And when I just turned 17, I bench pressed 100 kilos with my prosthetic arm. So I've always wanted to test out my limitations, as I said, and I've always wanted to get involved in loads of different things.
Well, the determination is really there. I think we can all see that. But tell us then about the high jump, because it's not often you see Kerry people doing a high jump. I mean, Kerry people are interested in football, Jordan. They're not interested in high jumps.
Yeah, sure. Don't we know that? So getting involved in high jump is quite an interesting story, where it all started back in secondary school. So for fifth and sixth year of my Leaving Cert, I decided to do Leaving Cert Applied, which is different to the typical Leaving Cert route that the majority of students would go down. And a requirement and part of that course, you have to have a work experience for each quarter of the year. So I decided to do my work experience for the first quarter in the Carra Centre in Tralee. So they're an organisation that help people with disabilities through physical activity and sport. And I'm currently an ambassador for them then as well. So it's an organisation that definitely means a lot to me. And they asked me if I wanted to go up to the National Seminar for Inclusion that was going to be on in December of 2016, I believe. And they wanted to create a video of myself highlighting my achievements to date. And one of the guest speakers at the event was Jason Smith, who's the fastest Paralympian of all time, second fastest man in Irish history, able-bodied or disabled. And I remember having a chat with him, and I obviously knew who he was, and he actually knew who I was through my sporting background. And he said, look, Jordan, there's a Paralympic Expo going to be on the following month in January of 2017, that, you know, he encouraged me to go up and to get involved and try out all the different sports that were available to try out. And in my own words, I said, sure, look, I'll go up for the crack and I'll see what it's like. And I remember going up the following month in January, finding out that four different disciplines saw serious potential in my ability to take on their sport at a serious level. So I then had a decision to make where, you know, if I definitely wanted to stop playing basketball at this stage, if I wanted to try something new, test out my limitations yet again, and if so, what sport was I going to choose? So the four sports that were interested in me was the two jumping events, which is high jump, long jump, cycling, believe it or not, and badminton. So quite a wide range of sports to choose from there. But with some great thought and consideration, I decided I'd go with the high jump, because high jump would probably be the sport I enjoy the most, first of all, and the sport I'd probably be best at. Because with my basketball background, I've always had a decent sort of high jump, you could say. So I made that decision back in January of 2017, and I had my first international competition 3 months later in Germany, in Berlin, where I finished fourth out of four people. So you can only imagine how disappointed I was with that, considering my mentality is always one, you know, to never be satisfied. So So when people ask me when I started the high jump, I don't say that I started it in 2017. I always say that I started in 2018 because that's when I actually started taking things seriously and I had a proper coach, had a structured routine, and that's where it all began. So, and it's funny how that happened as well, where I was actually at the track with my stepfather Dermot again, and in Unreaped in Castle Island, and one of the local athletes was at the track, and he could see that, you know, I was struggling and that I kept on hitting the bar and that I was getting angry at myself and, you know, getting down. And he offered to give me a hand for the remainder of the session. And in that session alone, I felt like I learned an awful lot from him. And his name was Tomás Griffin, one of the local athletes at that time. And he said that he was going to be at the track same time next week and that he'd be willing to give me a hand again. And the weeks just kept on rolling and rolling from there, really. And it then came to a stage where he had a chat with me and he said, look, Jordan, I see some serious potential in you and your ability to be a good high jumper. But the one thing that he said to me, and it still sticks to me to this day, is that you have to give me 100% or nothing. And that's a motto and quote that I use by across all my social media platforms. It's his quote, for the record. It's not mine. It's his quote. I'm not going to say it's my quote. Where basically, if you're going to do something, you give it 100%. There's no point doing it 50%. Just don't do it at all. Give it maximum effort and nothing less. And it was at that point I knew that, you know, things were really going to start progressing, which they did rapidly, where, you know, I increased my PV by 1.55 meters to 1.84 meters in the space of 4 months. You know, I increased my overall speed by 30%. I lost 8 kilos of body weight as well in the space of 4 to 5 months to shaping up to have that high jumper build. And that was just down to a genuine guy in Tomás wanting the best for me and wanting, you know, for me to fulfill my potential. So that's when things started really to get good. And we ultimately won a bronze medal 7 months after meeting each other.
Well, it's amazing because I think people in Ireland, I think, kind of start with their sport at a very young age and they're doing it all their life. And then they get to this moment where they're going to the Paralympics and they're going to the Olympics. But you're at it so short, you know, it's such a short space of time. And for you to get where you are is pretty amazing. Can you talk me through the technical side or maybe like the technique you have when it comes to the high jump? I mean, what goes through your head? You're obviously standing there waiting to have, like, my take it is you're standing there, you're waiting to have a run up with your jump, your turn. But like, what's the technical side thing? What's going through your head?
There is endless amount of cues that you have to think of. And it's something that you really have to train your mind to remember as well. It's a mental game more so than a physical game. So you need to know exactly how far away from the bar your approach is, how far out it's going to be, your stride length coming into the bar, how fast you're coming in towards the bar. Are you following your lean? Are you following the curve? Are you using the correct arm movement? Are you putting your feet down firmly flat so that you're not toeing the ground, which isn't causing pain in your patella? Is your foot placement in the correct place? Is your penultimate step where it should be? Is it low enough? Is it in the correct position? Are you flopping over the bar at the right time? You're not traveling over the bar. That you tilt your head back and that you land perfectly without breaking your neck. There's more.
Can I ask, what is like all that in 10 seconds less? All that in how many seconds? How much are you trying?
Four or five.
So you're trying to think of all that technique in about 4 seconds.
I'm trying to jump 6'7" in 4 seconds.
And you're thinking of all those things as well. You know, people just think you run up and give an all jump and that's it, you know, but I knew there was crazy technique to this.
It's so much more than that because, like, you can be an exceptionally good athlete with a really good jump, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a good high jumper. And I've seen it in people who tried it. They just can't master it. It's a combination of strength, power, explosiveness, flexibility, agility, diligence, mental toughness even as well, because like high jump can be very much a love-hate relationship at times. If things aren't going well, it can be, you know what I mean? So it's about keeping the head in those crucial moments then as well. So it's well, such an interesting sport where the bar is continuously being raised.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely amazing. I mean, with less than 90 days to Tokyo now, I think it is.
Yeah, so less than 90 days to Tokyo. Something that's really exciting. obviously, you know, I'm very grateful for all the supporting network that I have, obviously with my coach, Tomás, my, you know, my parents, my family, and then, you know, my sponsors as well, you know, Circle K being one of the main big sponsors. And I think what they're doing, especially on the lead up to Tokyo, is fantastic with the Tough Team Ireland initiative, where, you know, it is going to be a tricky Olympics and Paralympics. I don't think, we'd be lying if we were to say otherwise. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a bad experience. And it's something that we're all crucially looking forward to. And I think with the Tough Team Ireland initiative, how, you know, the fans at home and the supporters at home, that they can write lovely key messages and do lovely drawings and post them over to the Tokyo village, and to be able to see that support from home, you know, by that being done with Circle K, I think that's fantastic. And
that's fantastic. Andrew, really interesting chat there that Valerie had with Jordan Lee, the para-athlete and high jumper preparing for the Tokyo Summer Games. And as he mentioned, Circle K's initiative, which gives you the chance to, you can pick up postcards in your local Circle K store and you can write or draw your message to support Team Ireland, and then they'll be on display at Team Ireland's camp in the athletics, Tokyo's Athlete Village. Absolutely fantastic stuff. And that was really, really a really interesting chat there with the Kerry man. And if you missed any of that, it'll be on our podcast, which will be on redfm.ie shortly. But that is it from us for tonight. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way. We're back next Saturday and Sunday at 6 p.m. 3 hours of the best Irish music coming your way on Green and Red with Conor Halpin right after this. Thanks very much for joining us, folks. We'll talk to you next week.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.